afternoon, everyone. This is Catherine Bradford with you on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, a gorgeous day here in the Seattle area. I went outside today, and aside from just what the environment looked like, felt very much like I was back in Hawaii, so I really enjoyed that. It was nice to be out in the warm sun sitting and watching all the animals romp around today, so thank you for joining me. While all of us know food is necessary to stay alive, it would seem that many people still disregard the relationship between the quality of foods we consume and our health. How is it that we as Americans have allowed ourselves to be swayed away from choosing foods that not only nourish us, but keep us younger looking, reduce our chances of illness, keep us at ideal body weight, help reduce stress in our lives, increase our energy levels, increase our mental clarity, as well as our memories? As the debate for healthcare reform continues and lawmakers argue about finding ways to ensure all citizens have reasonable medical care, it seems little is being done to direct our attention to the foundation of what truly ails most Americans, bad choices in diet and lifestyle. As we move eagerly into a faster-paced society, filling our days with to-do lists with more than we can possibly achieve, paying attention to, taking time for, and choosing to supply our bodies with meals that are high in quality nutrition seems too difficult or perhaps too time-consuming. The research, while at times perhaps confusing and contradictory, points us in the proper direction for living a healthy life, a long and healthy life. This is one area of your life that you have perhaps the most control, what you choose to eat. And yet, over and over again, you walk right past the produce department and head straight into the middle aisles of the grocery store that house dozens of lifeless, high-calorie, lower nutritional foods. After a long day running around wildly attempting to complete all of those items on your to-do list, it's much easier to pop that frozen package into the microwave. Or maybe you choose to drive through at lunch or on the way home. Are you tired of waking up in the middle of the night with indigestion? Are you feeling hopeless each time you open your closet and stare at the rack of clothes that no longer fit you? Are you giving in to what you say are genetic conditions passed on generation after generation? Have you had enough of feeling powerless over just about every aspect of your physical, mental, and spiritual self? Are you ready to wake up? Are you ready to see how easy it is to rediscover and have a love affair with healthy foods? I hope you are. I really hope you are. And I'm really glad that you're taking time to join me today as I welcome to the Wellness Roadshow, Robin Jeep. Robin is an internationally trained chef and former marketing director of Whole Foods Market. Robin conducts whole self lectures and workshops that focus on supportive social interaction, nutritional education, personal growth, antioxidant culinary instruction, and physical fitness. Along with her co-author, Professor Richard Cooey, she's designed Reclaim Your Health courses for physical fitness centers, colleges, medical professionals, as well as other chefs. Robin brings to us today her wealth of knowledge and wisdom gained through her own life experience, along with her new book, The Super Antioxidant Diet and Nutrition Guide. Unlike other nutritional books, Robin brings us information that helps guide us into recognizing that eating and eating right is nourishing not only the body, but the mind and spirit as well. Please join me today in welcoming Robin Jeep. Hello, Robin.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes, I am glad to have you with me. You know, I realized that at the beginning of my introduction, it seemed stern with regard to sort of the finger wag and identifying the fact that I think that there seems to be such a huge disconnect, or actually there is a connection, but many people want to disconnect from the connection.
That's right.
Around the, you know, the troubles that we seem to be having nationally with cascading down numbers of healthy people and rising numbers of disease onset conditions and whatnot, and just this sort of obliteration of what we would call a normal and healthy diet around the United States. It's on everyone's forefront right now, just because the fact is, who hasn't been touched in some way by this huge, you know, health care reform debate that's going on, you know, nationally.
Yeah.
So, you know, it seems very timely that we once again, you know, stand back, take a deep breath, and focus a little bit on our own individual responsibilities around just our own state of health. And I think your book, again, and your programs are incredibly timely and very important for us to instigate into the possibility of recalibrating the scene here in America, right?
Yes, yes. When I was listening to you, I was thinking, oh, this is a woman after my own heart. Mm. I have had to kind of tone down my approach just from doing this for years, working with people and helping them transition to a healthier lifestyle. And
by tone down, do you mean just the just like I said, you know, not being quite so in your face because you push them away?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it, and because I've learned more and more about really what's going on with the brain chemistry of when eating this way, and I, you know, I have to go back and think about what all I went through, and I'm a very strong-willed person, and what I've seen people go through. I never was a junk food eater. I ate what I would have considered pretty healthily, and actually in my early 20s, I stumbled upon this way of eating, I guess out of necessity. I was a model in my 20s, and I also was training to be a steeplechase jockey, and I was living in Europe. And I grew up, my mother raised us on pretty healthy foods. I mean, lots of vegetables. And we never had soda pop in the house. We never had junk food in the house. And so I never did get into even eating hamburgers or any of that stuff. But when I was living in Europe, I had to stay really, really thin to be a model. It was in the 70s, the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to be really strong because working with racehorses is, I mean, I had a body, I looked like a weightlifter. I mean, your upper body and your legs have to be so strong to handle these animals.
Mm-hmm.
But I was tall, being a model, I was 5'8", and so I had to get my weight down to 114.
Wow.
To ride in, because I had to ride in flat races before I could graduate to being a steeplechase jockey.
Seems like an oxymoron, being a model and a steeplechase jockey at the same time.
I didn't think about things like that back then. I just did what I wanted to do, and I'd always been a rider all my life.
Right.
So I had to figure out a way to stay really skinny and stay strong. Mm-hmm. So I started eating lots of fruit and lots of salads and green vegetables and some seafood. And I got really thin and I was strong. And so I saw that that worked. I didn't understand why. I just knew that it worked. And it was not until many years later that I discovered it. I was on a lot of prescription medication because I became a chef. And when I became a chef, I started eating a lot of, and living in Europe, then after I started stopped doing the horse thing, I started eating really rich foods. I really liked rich foods, and I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder when I was in my early 20s, and I ended up taking lithium and then antidepressants, and then I developed irritable bowel syndrome and then migraine headaches, and it just went on and on and on, and there was a medication for each thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a woman. I was living in Los Angeles working as a private chef, and I met a woman that looked at me, and I had long forgotten that diet, you know, in my 20s when I was doing horses. And she said to me, she looked at me, and she said, I can help you get off those medications.
Mm.
And I thought, how does she even know I'm on medication? My gosh, is that obvious? And, you know, it probably was. So, but she was a very perceptive woman.
Mm-hmm.
So she started, I became friends with her and actually moved in with her. And she put me on a severe diet. I mean, I was juicing. I was completely vegan. I was eating all these plant foods. And I went through really serious detoxification in my body. A lot of the symptoms I had even got worse. And I didn't understand it. I just trusted her. And I did get through it. And I worked with my medical doctor, and I was able to get off all of the prescription drugs that I was on, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind cleared out, so I really saw the power in this. And then shortly thereafter, I had a horseback riding accident. I was still fooling around with horses. I was 48 years old at the time, thinking I was 20, and was training a 2-year-old thoroughbred. And the horse reared up and flipped over. He was young, and two-year-old thoroughbreds are very gangly and not real coordinated. And his feet flipped out from underneath him, and he came down. I was on an English saddle, thank heavens, or I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
And he came down between my legs and shattered my pelvis.
Mm.
Broke both my, I had 14 pelvic fractures. 4 of them were compound. I had 2 broken hip joints. I had a fractured sacrum. I had serious internal injuries, and arteries were severed. And so I was had to be airlifted to the hospital. It was a really, a miracle did take place. That in the
that you even made it to the hospital to begin with.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. And then between the first and second CAT scan, my internal organs went back together right in front of the doctors.
Mm.
So I kind of knew there was a purpose for me. I didn't quite know what it was.
What year in the what year was this?
That was in 2002.
Oh, 2002. You know, I asked that because I have years of medical background being over at Stanford and involved in the, uh-huh. the medical field. So, you know, and there's a huge, to me, there seems to be a very palpable, you know, change in the mental thinking of doctors from even 30 years ago. So I was just trying to see, get a feel for when you went through all this. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, but after that, they were amazed at my recovery. My pelvis just went back together.
Mm.
It was just incredible. And I had been eating this densely way before, and the doctors really attributed it to that. And then, of course, I was very physically active. And, I mean, they just said that what happened in between the CAT scans was a spontaneous, an unexplainable spontaneous healing.
Hmm.
But the other part, my recovery was so amazing. But after that, I started suffering from some digestive problems
mm-hmm.
because of the accident. And I was really having some severe lower intestinal problems, and then they found that it had damaged my esophageal sphincter muscle, and it wouldn't close anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I was. It took time, but then I started wasting away, and I had to figure something out. And I discovered Joel Fuhrman, who wrote the book Eat to Live.
Mm-hmm.
Familiar with him,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Fuhrman?
Yes.
And so I discovered his book and ended up going to New Jersey to work with him on a project. Because I was so excited about all this, and I was eating this way, and it was helping me. And when I got to New Jersey, I was in really bad shape. He saw that I was really wasting away, so he had to work with me and teach me how to. I had to blend a lot of foods and so forth. So I was with him for about 2 years. I counseled his patients, and I taught cooking classes there. Then I came back to Texas. My parents are older, and they needed my help, so I came back to Texas, and that's when I wrote this book, because I saw a real need from counseling his patients. I saw a real need for a book that was not quite as academic.
Yes.
And had a lot of the practical application for this, because a lot of people really don't want to know all the science. They just want to know the basics and how to do it, you know, why it works and how to do it. So that's when I wrote this book. And to be honest with you, I don't think that I would still be alive if I had not been eating this way. And I tell a lot of my students that if you look at me, I look very, very healthy, and I am, because I'm putting all these nutrients in my body.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, you know, if I can be healthy in the state that I'm in with all the damage that I, internal damage that I have, I mean, you think what it's going to do for you.
Yeah.
So I went with that approach with teaching people, and I saw people really were having a lot of struggles, and I knew about the withdrawal and the brain chemo. I knew a lot about that stuff, but then the brain chemical withdrawal, the detoxification process that takes place when you are